Avast, matey, ye be the prisoner of the good ship Zed Games. On this, the 19th of September, the International Talk Like a Pirate Day, our captain, he with the cannonball head and the black beard, Razor.
Yo-ho-ho, 'tis a pleasure to be here tonight.
God, that may be enough. Hi, Jody. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Lee?
I'm really, really good. I think we should abandon this pirate thing immediately.
Our Captain Razor disagrees heartily.
Okay, that's going to be fun all night.
Yep, this is a really good idea. I'm glad you brought it up.
I don't know what I was thinking. I'm very sorry, listeners.
Walk the plank, Lee.
Oh, I'm so sorry, listeners. So, Razor, what are we going to be discussing tonight?
Tonight. So last week, we had the big reveal of the Wii U details. They had a press conference. They said they would be revealing the price and some specifications of the actual hardware. So we'll be discussing that later on in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Also, last week, Jody, something happened with the R18 games classification guidelines.
Yeah, we've got the actual guidelines. They've been released now so that we can pore over them and fret about what they actually say.
We're going to read those out one by one on tonight's show.
Yeah, there's only a few dozen pages. It shouldn't take long, listeners. Yeah.
And we're also going to be going around the room and talking about what we've been playing individually. We're just getting into video game season, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Some hot releases coming out in the back end of this year. Borderlands 2 this week. Little Big Planet, for the Vita. And then from next week on, it's just like an avalanche of sweet games till the end of the year.
I don't have enough time to play any of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take a couple of weeks off work. I'm sure they'll be fine with that.
But first, let's get into the week's news. Lee, if you please.
No, you. Go on.
Me? All right. Yeah. Sure. The PS3 will be receiving an updated model come October the 30th. The new model will be 25% slimmer than the existing slim model and will be available in the following bundles. First, there's the deluxe premium Ferrari model, which is 500 gigabytes, which will cost about $299 American, which will also come with a sweet copy of Assassin's Creed 3.
Ooh.
The 250 gigabyte model, slightly worse, but still pretty good. $269 American dollars, and will come with Uncharted 3, available in two colors, charcoal black or classic white.
Excellent.
If it's even slimmer than the current slim model, is it just going to fall over in a breeze?
Yes. There's also nothing inside it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you put the disc in and you hear it just hit the plastic on the bottom. Yeah. It's a scam.
It was in production. It was like codenamed the Posh Spice model.
We can cut that out in post, right?
Yeah.
We need a laugh track for this bad boy, man.
Yeah, that's what that needed. Laughs. So Obsidian have launched a Kickstarter project of their own called Project Eternity, which is to be a real-time tactical RPG as a spiritual successor to the critically acclaimed Planescape Torment, which is now what, like, how many years old is that?
Don't make me feel old.
I'll make you feel old, old man.
I think it was 99.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. 13 years.
Yep, I miss those days. So this project has been up now for, 3 days?
Yeah.
They cleared $1 million in their first day.
Mm-hmm. It's $1.6 million right now.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. So they've, 28 more days to, make additional millions. Go on, video game fans. Let's see how many features we can overstuff this thing with through Kickstarter stretch goals.
You've pledged yourself, haven't you, Lee?
I'm going to pledge.
Yeah?
I'm going to pledge. I'm trying to find the right level of pledge, though, where I get the perfect amount of sweet loot.
Yeah. I think I'd just go for the one where I get the game.
Yeah.
I don't need my name in the credits or anything.
There's pledge levels where you can name your own NPC. You can name a location or a sweet weapon or all three. That's pretty good. You can have a custom portrait painted of your character.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Those locations include inns and taverns, so you could name your own pub in the game.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty awesome.
How great would that be?
I'm not rich.
Yeah, no, because that would cost you about $1,000.
Two founders of BioWare, Ray Mazika and Gray Zeschuk, have Greg... I couldn't pronounce the Greg, but yeah. Mazika, I was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
they have announced that they are retiring from the industry.
Yeah. Now, that's very interesting news, isn't it? Because about 5 years ago, they sold the company to EA.
About 5 years ago.
About five.
To the day.
To the day, pretty much. Yes. So there is some speculation in the industry that this is basically a back-end payout that would have been in that initial contract. Considering that they are both retiring on exactly the same day, it does seem a little interestingly timed.
It is a pretty standard sort of clause that you keep the staff when you buy the company, and the most important staff anyway, for a certain amount of time, like 5 years.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen to BioWare now that the two founders, the two big men, have left?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you could say that there has been a shift in the leadership of the company the last couple of years anyway. So how much influence they really had, over some of the more recent releases is questionable. But they have just made a big announcement, and I'm going to let Jody announce this because he's sitting beside me. And if anyone else were sitting there, I'd let them announce it. But
thanks, man. Thanks.
It's just for you, my friend.
BioWare have announced that Dragon Age 3 Inquisition is coming out late next year, and that's about all they've said about it.
Yeah, they have said nothing else. Mm. Yeah.
Hopefully they listened to fan feedback from the last game, Dragon Age 2.
Well, we do know that it will be made in a new engine, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. They were also saying that this new engine will allow them to make many, many more art assets, and that they have been paying attention to the criticisms that the previous games have had. But they did particularly mention, actually, this will allow them to quickly create multiple locations rather than have everything be set in the same cave, which, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that would be a plus.
Yeah, like they could have, like...
two caves at least.
Yeah, and a house.
Wow.
Something in a house would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, Guild Wars 2 has just been announced for the Mac.
Yay.
It's currently in beta.
Yay.
That's pretty awesome.
And you'll be able to play on the same servers as everyone else.
That's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Good news for Mac owners. All right, you're listening to Zed Games. Next up, we'll be talking all about the Wii U, the details, the pricing, our thoughts. But here's a Monkey Island track.
Yay.
That was a track called Pirate Shout. It was from the Monkey Island soundtrack. Well, it wasn't. It was a remix of one of those songs off an album called Heroes and Villains that was released last year.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. On Zed Games, we've been talking about the Wii U. We've been speculating about, how good it's going to be, what games are going to be out for it. And finally, last week, we had some definite answers from Nintendo at a very flash press conference. Most importantly, guys... how much is this going to be when it comes out?
Money.
All of the money.
All of the money that you've got. What is it? It's
$350.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a standard models. Or the deluxe?
There's a deluxe version which gives you 32 gig of storage and comes with a copy of Nintendo Land. Is that the $350 one for the deluxe?
I thought that was the... isn't that...
No, $350 is the basic.
Yeah.
It's $400 for the deluxe.
Though. Yeah. So the basic one, if you just want to shell out $350, it's got 8 gigabytes of onboard memory. It comes with a gamepad, a sensor bar, HDMI cable, and an AC adapter, of course, to no games. The premium model has 32 gigabytes of memory on board with all the same stuff, except it also comes with a copy of Nintendo Land.
And an even better AC adapter.
Yeah. Also, release date. Very important. That's actually probably more important than the price. November the 30th in Australia.
Mm.
Just in time for Christmas.
Start saving those pennies.
Are you going to get one, Lee?
I'm going to probably play yours on launch day, I think, and then see whether I want one. Because that worked out really well with the Wii. I waited around... and then everyone was very enthusiastic, and I bought one eventually. And I don't regret that purchase at all right now. Still play it every day. I'm out there with my Wii Tennis, wiggling back and forth. Woo!
Thankfully, sarcasm does translate over radio.
Yes, but not your garbled speech.
I'm going to wait 6 months and buy it when it's $50 cheaper.
Yeah, that's an idea.
That worked out okay on the 3DS.
Launch titles.
Yep.
Strong, healthy launch lineup. We've got new Super Mario Bros. U, Nintendo Land, FIFA 13, Zombie U, Rayman Legends, Mass Effect 3, and Call of Duty Black Ops 2. They'll all be available at launch.
I am excited about Zombie U.
Yep.
Yeah. And
Rayman Legends.
Yeah, well, I mean, is that a new title, or is that...
Yeah, it's just... a new title.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
All Rayman
right.
Origins was the previous one. This is the...
Yeah, okay.
Fancy new one.
Right. I keep forgetting.
Also, Bayonetta 2 has been announced as a Wii U exclusive.
Woo! Looking forward to that. That's solid. Well done, Nintendo, for securing that valuable franchise.
Well, that's diversity.
That's
you can't accuse that lineup of being one note. There's a sports game in there. There's action. There's kiddie games. That is actually a decent, diverse lineup.
Is Bayonetta 2 going to be a launch title, though?
No, but those are 7 launch titles.
That's true, yes. All right. Mm. They've you know, ticked all their boxes.
Mm. Yeah, right. Okay, let's talk about the hardware then.
Yes.
Do you have some specs in front of you, Lee?
Yeah.
They didn't really reveal many details.
No. Most interesting, though, I think, is the fact that, you know, the even... You know, the fancy deluxe model only comes with 32 gigs of flash memory, which these days is not really a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the PS3 Slim model that's coming out with the smaller of the two models having 250 gigabytes.
Yeah, now, I mean, that's not a solid state drive, though. I mean, that's just still your standard rotating Kadili. But... yeah, I'm just not sure whether, you know, that limited amount of storage is really going to be all that useful going on into the future. I mean, we are entering a period where, you know, a lot of games now, even full retail products, are available to just download straight onto your console. So,
yeah,
what are they doing?
Yeah, they didn't really give us any specs that could be directly compared to, you know, the Xbox 360 or the PS3. I don't know whether that was a decision they made because maybe it stacks up only slightly better. I mean, I think the general consensus is that the machine is slightly ahead of the PS3 and the Xbox 360, but not like a full generation ahead.
Yep.
Which is worrying for the long-term life of the console. Of course, we saw the Wii U... the original Wii is sort of outdated now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the whole thing with the Wii was that it was... graphically behind the rest of the pack, but was innovating in different ways.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it seems like they're aiming for the same sort of thing with the Wii U.
Yeah.
So that when the next generation Xbox and PlayStation come out, it's going to look dated, but they're banking on all of the people they win over first and hopefully having more interesting things going on than just better looking graphics.
Yeah. Like, I'm excited to see what can happen with that sort of asynchronous gameplay that they've got in mind, where, you know, one person is using the fancy Wii U controller and they're doing their own thing, and then everyone else just has they've got a Wiimote and they're playing off the TV, and their experience will be, you know, relating to the other in a, you know, an interesting way. But at the same time, I'm also aware that for most developers these days, being able to have a release across multiple consoles is the only way to really, you know, monetize anything. So if, you know, in this case, you have something that is wildly different, it does mean that, you know, are they going to even bother? You know, it's the same thing with the Wii, where, like, initially, sure, people were porting, you know, big games onto the Wii, but then eventually it just, you know, didn't happen.
Yeah. I've seen that they've got a few in the pipeline, like, you know, Call of Duty Black Ops, but how are they going to use the extra screen? Is it just going to be like a tacked on thing where they have to put on a map, or is it going to be a unique thing for the Wii U especially, or are they just going to have it, not even going to use it, maybe it'll just be a black screen the whole time?
Yeah, well, it does also have TV mode on a lot of games where you can actually just play your Wii on your Wii controller, Wii U controller. So even if, you know, it can't do anything else, hopefully it will at least be able to, you know, allow you to just play it on the screen in your hands, which would be a sweet experience. Yeah. Jody, how many Wii U's are you getting?
All of them? Yeah. Well, I think you need at least 3 so that you get all of the controllers, all the different colours, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing they haven't announced is the price of another special Wii U controller, one that has a screen in it.
Well, isn't it it only supports one of those.
Actually, I think they went and said that there's going to be support for more than one of those special controllers.
Oh, no.
But there's been no games that have been announced that will be using it yet.
Oh, God.
But they have said that you can watch TV on your second controller as well, so that you could have somebody watching multiple channels of TV at once. And I can set them all up like Ozymandias in Watchmen and just sit there surrounded by screens, like, look upon my works, ye mighty, and despair. So I look forward to that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Yeah. Yeah, this will just feed into your bizarre ego issues.
Yeah, basically. Mm.
Good, good.
But I've got to say the timing of this release is spectacular. I mean, November the 30th, it's going to be a hot Christmas item. I remember back in 2006 when the original Wii was released, it was a bit of a hit.
Yeah.
For the Christmas shopper. I think they sold out of them, and there was a bit of a grab at the store, like people were fighting for them and stuff.
Oh, this will be Tickle Me Elmo all over again.
Oh, don't mention Red Christmas.
Yeah.
I was working retail when that happened, and it was hell.
Is that why you have that scar on your neck?
Yep. That's actually from the race of cars. Okay. Lightning McQueen.
So I'm thinking this year it's going to be a hot Christmas item, along with the new iPhone, of course. But my frank thoughts about the system, I think it's going to sell well. Like, really well. I think they're going to do really well out of it. But just like the Wii, I don't think they've put longevity I don't think they're banking on longevity. I think they're just going to sell a whole bunch of them up front. And then in a couple of years, when the PS4 and the new Xbox come out, I think it's going to drop off just like the Wii did.
So it's a scam is what you're saying.
Well, I think it's just a bit of a novelty thing. That's my personal thought. I could be proven wrong. Nintendo do have an excellent reputation. But with the Wii, I don't know. It sort of lost its thunder like 2 years after it launched.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether it's actually going to have the same kind of numbers that the Wii did, you know? Because a lot of the people who bought the Wii, you know, were new entries into that field. I don't think they're going to feel like they got their money's worth and that they would see any real need to get this new one. It doesn't have that same immediate, like, wow, look what this thing could do. I can finally play bowling without having to get in my Rascal scooter.
But at the same time, even, you know, us gamers that play all the time, and we might consider ourselves like hardcore gamers or whatever, we've been clamoring for a new system for quite a while. I mean, the growing consensus is that this generation of gaming is sort of overdue for an update. Mm-hmm. People are starting to comment on, you know, the graphics of games paling in comparison to the PC versions. So I think that it'll do well just because a lot of people that consider themselves like real gamers are looking for something new to play on.
Yeah, it could have the reverse effect of the Wii, where this one might sell more to real gamers because those people, those families who bought the Wii, they still have them. And while it has a reputation among people like us for gathering dust and not being played with anymore, those people are still using them. 25% of the people watching Netflix do so through a Wii.
What? Madness.
So they're still getting used by other people, not people in countries with Netflix.
Yeah. Now, I should say that I did recently actually blow the dust off my Wii so that I could play Kirby's Epic Yarn with my girlfriend. That was fun. That was very good. But it had been so long that there was a very thick layer of dust there, and I had to dig around to find batteries and all of this stuff. I wasn't sure it would still work anymore, really. Yeah. So don't do that again, Wii U.
All right, well, we'll be keeping a close eye on the Wii U, of course, up until its release of November 30 in Australia. Very exciting stuff. But we might head to a track now. This one by Laura Shigihara. Jody?
This one is Fushigina Forest, which is her version of some music from The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
You are still listening to Zed Games, and right now we're going to be discussing the recently released guidelines for the R18 classification in Australia. So the guidelines were released, when was this, last week, Jody?
Last week, but the actual rating won't be in effect until next year.
Yes, and it's still something that states individually will have to vote on as to whether they will implement it, yes?
Yes, so the ACT is going to have it first, probably from January the 1st, but we don't know when Queensland or the other states will get it yet.
Yes, yes, there's a big old asterisk as to, you know, when Queensland will be voting such a thing in.
Yes.
Yeah. But we don't need to comment on that. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's amazing that it was passed. I mean, it's good news. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now on the show, and other gaming journalist outlets as well have been following this story, and it's just amazing that we're actually getting the rating in, and it's going to be good news for gamers all around Australia.
Hooray!
Yeah. But we just saw the actual classification guidelines last week.
Mm-hmm.
Jody, you had time to pore over each individual thing in there, right?
Yes, I did. I read over the whole thing, and it's a laugh riot, I can tell you. I'm not being sarcastic. There is actually one very funny bit that somebody slipped in there. I swear someone is having a laugh.
Read it.
In the section explaining the G classification, it says, "The G classification is for a general audience. However, it does not necessarily indicate that children will enjoy the computer game." Which is basically somebody covering their ass for when parents buy a bunch of watered-down G-rated games and their kids hate them. That's just saying, these games might suck. That's not our fault. You shouldn't have bought G-rated games for your kids.
So the current video game classification system is pretty much right now in line with the film classification system, with one omission, which is the fact that we don't have an R18+ rating for video games. Now the rest, if I'm not mistaken, the rest of the classifications from G through to M, 15+, will remain pretty much the same. It's just the MA 15+ rating and of course the new R rating that are going to have changes made to them, is that right?
Yeah, largely.
So what info do we have about new R18+ rating?
Well, we can actually, you know, if you want to pick an adult theme, we can talk about the R18 rating there. Razor, what are you mostly interested in?
Violence, sex, sexual violence.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm into. I'm into themes.
You're into themes.
I love my adult themes. I love violence. I love sex.
Yeah.
How do you feel about swearing?
Swearing? Yeah. Language, filtered language, that's fine.
How about drug use? How does that get you?
Drug use, while I don't necessarily condone that in real life in games, I do like to partake.
And nudity, do you like to partake in that?
You're damn right I like to.
He is bottomless in this studio right now, audience. You are very, very lucky. Well, if you're a fan of themes, let me tell you something. The R18 restriction, there are virtually no restrictions in the treatment of adult themes. So open slather, you know. Divorce, taxes, having to vote, all those, you know, delightful adult topics, totally allowable.
So there's no restrictions? Are you sure about that?
There are no restrictions on themes. Their definition of themes is basically social issues. So that means that any social issue can be discussed. Obviously, there are limits on other things, like, for instance, sexual violence is not permitted in an R18 rated game.
Yeah.
Violence is permitted. It can be high-impact violence that is, in context, frequently gratuitous, exploitative, and offensive to a reasonable adult, and then it will get kicked over to the RC refused classification. But impact violence is allowed in an R18 game.
Right.
God knows what that actually means.
Yeah.
Yes. So when they say a reasonable adult, they're not talking about us, are they?
No, they would never
look at us and see a reasonable adult.
God, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
They would probably classify us as tragic man children.
Yeah, I think that's what it says.
Yeah.
However, there are no restrictions on language in the R18, so R-rated games, you'll be able to swear your head off.
Damn.
Unlike radio.
No, we got nothing.
Gosh.
Heck yes. Looking forward to that.
What about nudity?
Yeah.
How many nude people can we have on screen at once?
It says nudity is permitted. So, at last, that new Duke Nukem Forever mod that you've been wanting to play, available.
Mm.
There, the nudity is merely implied. Everyone runs away from you, though.
Yeah. What restrictions on violence are there going to be? We said no sexual violence, of course. That's quite understandable. What about, like, if I shoot someone in the leg, can I shoot their leg off and that's okay or not?
That is something that they're very vague about.
Yeah.
The refused classification section says that depictions of violence with a very high degree of impact, which are excessively frequent, prolonged, detailed, or repetitive, will get it kicked into a refused classification rating. None of those words are very scientific.
Yeah.
You can't really define any of them, you know, in terms of numbers or actual things that you would do. high degree, excessive, frequent, repetitive,
yeah,
prolonged. How long is prolonged? Who can say?
Yeah. Like, so we need to know whether Australia will ever get Mortal Kombat. That's what we want to know.
And we don't know that.
No, because some people would call that excessive.
Some people would call it repetitive and prolonged.
Yeah, mm. But they would never describe it as uninteresting and unexciting.
You guys bring up good points, because this is all up to the classification board and how they apply these guidelines. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bunch of dudes in a room that play the game, and they could be anyone. They're supposed to represent a good cross-section of the community, but who knows? They play the game, and then at the end of the day, after they played it and tested it and all that, they say, yes, this is okay for Australia, or no. And, you know, subjectivity comes into account here because, yeah, like you're saying, how long is prolonged? How long can I stab someone before it's considered excessive?
How many nut shots is too many nut shots is what you want to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, I mean, it sort of looks like they've split up the existing MA 15 plus rating, which was, of course, too lax because we were allowing a lot of titles through, which should have been rated 18 plus, right?
Yeah.
For example, Call of Duty Black Ops, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, all these games were released as R, or the equivalent adult rating in other territories, but came to Australia under the MA 15 plus rating.
Where anything goes.
So it looks like they've just divided the old MA 15 plus rating, but it doesn't necessarily look like they're extending the new R rating into something that might actually be an adult rating.
Yeah, there's a couple of things actually that I note that have been taken out for the R rating that were definitely present in the MA 15 plus one. And this relates specifically to the reason why The Witcher 2 was restricted in Australia, yeah, which was that in The Witcher 2, which maybe we remember is an excellent but rather bawdy RPG made by a bunch of Nordic dudes, there was a quest, I think it was for a dryad, probably, you know how those forest nymphs are, where once you completed the quest, said dryad offered to reward you with, you know, some dryad style lovin'.
Really?
Okay. Yes. That quest was altered for the Australian release of the game. In the Australian version, she shook your hand and told you that you had nice white hair, and she went away. And Geralt of Rivia looked very sad. But no, you just refused that offer. In the R18 one, the restriction, which is, let me just read this out to you. This is the old restriction, which is sexual activity must not be related to incentives or rewards. So you don't, you know, it's not a prize. That is no longer, that wording is not in the R18 plus rating. So
that's part of the MA15 plus rating.
Yes.
So The Witcher 2 would be able to keep,
yep,
it's sexy dryad nymphs,
yeah,
and be an R-rated game under these new guidelines.
That's good news.
Yeah.
For dryad lovers everywhere.
That's right.
Also, it has to be said that games that would originally be refused classification due to, you know, having excessive sexual violence or anything like that, you know, there still is a refused classification category.
Yeah.
So games can still be banned even with the R-18 plus. So the more hardcore, you know, violent games, I don't know, they might still get banned.
Well, refused classification doesn't mean exactly the same thing as banned.
Yeah.
It means that those games can't be sold in Australia, but there's a grey area over whether you can obtain them overseas and then bring them back to Australia. Hmm. So the grey market in import games is probably going to continue.
Cool. Well, I guess we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll see how those regulations and guidelines are applied when the rating comes into effect on January 1st next year. Of course, it is still up to the individual states and territories to commit that to their own legislation. We'll head to a track now by Mark Morgan. Jody.
This is the main title from Planescape Torment. It's called Main Title. Welcome back to Zed Games. You just heard Lost Maud with a song called A Light That Is Darkness. And before that, you heard the main title from Planescape Torment. Lustmord was the guy who was hired to do the Planescape soundtrack originally and then was fired halfway through. And Mark Morgan replaced him and did the sort of awesome tribal stuff that we heard. So Lustmord took the music that he'd recorded and then went and turned it into an album called Metavoid, which is what you just heard a track off. So that's what Planescape almost sounded like.
Cool. Mm. And of course, we're all excited about the spiritual successor to Planescape Torment, which
God,
was announced
yes.
this week. You can head over to the Kickstarter website and give them money to do it.
Yep. Name a pub after Zed Games for us.
Yeah.
If you have like $1,000 lying about, actually just donate it to the station. That's good too.
Now, this is the part of the show where we go around the circle and we all tell everyone else what we've been playing.
Right.
Like good little kindergartners.
That's what we are now.
It's show and tell.
Yeah.
Without the show.
So, Razor, tell us, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing the StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm beta.
Ah.
Came out a couple of weeks ago. The game doesn't come out until next year, but they've given a few of us a chance to play through the multiplayer version of it and to iron out all the balance issues. I haven't had that much time to play because I've been moving house, have had no little internet, just got it connected a couple of days ago and been working through some issues, but...
Personal.
From what I've been playing, it looks pretty cool. It's StarCraft. It's fine, but I just keep getting owned really quickly. A few of the listeners will be angry to know, especially those that want to play the beta, that I'm not that awesome at StarCraft. Everyone else who's playing the beta is, for some reason. So I just keep getting rushed, and so it's really hard for me to look at the endgame units. And it's quite unfortunate. I wish I was better so I could, like, play more of it, but there's no campaign mode. There's no single player that's available to play right now. It's just multiplayer only. So if I want to play the game, I have to play against someone else. And there's no one's really agreeing to just hold off and don't kill me because I just want to check out all the new units. They're just like, nah, I want the win.
Ah,
I just want a friendly match.
Yeah. So I've been playing as Terran.
That win doesn't count for them anyway because it's like
yeah.
It's in the beta. They don't get that permanently.
The score gets wiped clean come release day. So I don't know. I think people are just like sort of looking for strategies to use the new units and sort of, you know, using this time to get ahead of the pack.
That mark is still there on their soul.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So have you seen any of the later end game units coming to crush you while you're there like, all right, putting down my first armory?
I couldn't tell you, but... I saw some Zerg units that looked quite impressive.
It happened too fast.
Yeah. Oh, man, you got to have a quick mind for that game. I tell you what, you got to have your mind on a whole bunch of different stuff. I'm pretty slow at the game, you know. I like to take my time at the start and plan out, but it's
you like
a good
to talk
strategy.
To each of your Zerglings.
Name them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find out when their birthday is. What
stroke them
they
with
are.
The cursor.
But I will keep playing and I will get better and then later on this year I'll be able to tell you my real thoughts and stuff like that.
All right. I'm going to speculate and it'll be, it's hard.
Yeah. What about you, Lee?
I have been playing a board game, actually, because I've also been playing the video games that we've been talking about recently. They're all, you know, very long, so I'm still playing, you know, Darksiders and Sleeping Dogs and Guild Wars 2, but listeners have heard enough about that. I've been playing Risk Legacy with some friends of mine, and Risk Legacy is a very interesting experiment in board game design in that it is initially very similar to classic Risk. So, you know, you've got the map of the world, you've got your factions, you're all fighting it out, you know, dice rolls against one another. But what's great about this is that immediately the game starts to design itself based on the way that the players play. So this is a board game where you actually are permanently altering the rules, you are marking the board, you are tearing up cards and rules as you play. And it gets to the point where within the game box there are a series of marked sealed envelopes, and each envelope is marked, you know, with a condition that has to be met. So there's one that you know, doesn't get opened up until a player is about to place 30 units on the board, and another one when 9 missiles are fired in a single turn, and all of these other things. And when you do that, the game mutates further. So over the course of a campaign of 15 games, your Risk game board will start to become nuanced, and it will be unlike anyone else's game board. It will be unique to yourself, your copy, and what you are playing with your friends. So it's fascinating. It's a really strange thing to be playing a board game that is asking you to mar it. These days most people tend to, when they're playing, they're very, very careful about not getting fingerprints on the cards, and not losing a marker underneath a roller chair or something. But yeah, this is a game that tells you to destroy the components once you've made a decision, and that's liberating. Mm.
So the resale value on these games isn't going to be much, I imagine.
Well, no, but the nostalgia value will be through the roof. I mean, that's the thing. When you open up a board game from your childhood, for example, do you want to open up something and be like, hey, this is mint, I can sell this and get $140? Or do you want to open it up and remember, the good times, remember getting into a fight and tearing up, Paul Mall, that sort of stuff?
Screw you, Paul Mall.
Exactly, yeah. During a Hitler mustache on, one of the characters in Heroes Quest, because they were just so much of a jerk. Like, that's what this is about. This is about a game that creates nostalgia as you play, and then that alters the game experience from that point on. Mm-hmm. So it's it's fascinating. We've only played two games so far, and we've got a full campaign of 15 before we get our final game board. So I will talk to you again in 15 weeks, and we will see whether I have knifed all of my friends to death, because Risk is one of those games that immediately causes controversy.
Mm, let's see.
When I first heard about Risk Legacy, I was kind of horrified. The part of me that doesn't like to bend the spines on my books was deeply offended. But the more I hear about it, the more clever it sounds, more like, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, like it's designed to be played in this way, Like, if you were to play it in a fashion where, you didn't do this, you would not be able to actually play the game. You're not playing it properly. Just the idea that this is a board game with spoilers is such a fascinating idea to me. I'm gonna reveal something right now that isn't actually a spoiler. It's a spoiler for a spoiler.
Okay.
Which is that because there are 9 envelopes in the box that you don't open until certain times in the campaign, we were opening the box up for the first time and marveling at this, and then someone lifted up the tray that contains all of the miniatures and the dice and the cards, and on the very bottom of the box there was a secret envelope, and this envelope says, "Do not open this envelope ever under any circumstances." And there is a debate raging as we speak as to when we should open this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
So, Jody, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Minecraft Pocket Edition, which came out about a year ago, I think. It's the phone version of Minecraft. And it's been updated sort of piecemeal as it goes along. This month, an update came out that added a few things, including creepers, which it didn't have before. So now it feels like the same Minecraft that I played on my PC. Creepers are sort of an essential part of it, these horrible planty monsters who sneak up behind you and then hiss and explode.
Make the noise.
They just hiss, they just, and then kaboom, and then you're dead, and everything you love is gone. So that's great. They've been finally, now that they're there, the version of Minecraft that I carry around in my pocket feels like the real game. A couple of other things have finally been added, like you can now build beds and chests in your stupid little cave so that you can sleep the night away and store a bunch of your items so that you don't lose them when you get blown up by a creeper. But I was one of those people who never really got hooked on the PC version of Minecraft. And I've remembered why now that I've gone back to it. I dig my little hole and I spend a few nights there and I avoid some zombies and I make some things. And then it gets to the point where you have to decide on a project and build something because that's what it's about. And I just can't decide. And then I get bored and then I quit.
Wow.
I've realized why.
We should ask our listeners to come up with a project for you, something that you should build.
I think the problem is that I just don't enjoy building stuff in games. Do you remember Fraggle Rock from when you were a kid?
Of course I do.
With the Muppet, the Jim Henson Show. And There were those guys called the Dozers, those little green dudes with the red helmets, and they would use those crystal rods to construct huge things.
Those rods would make it out of radishes, I'll have you know.
That's right.
Yes.
And they were tasty, which you knew because some scruffy fraggle would come along every episode, see whatever they were constructing, and eat the hell out of those rods. Yum, yum, yum.
I'm starting to see the analogy that you're constructing here.
Yeah, I'm a fraggle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you're actually, you sympathize more with the creeper than with the builders of Minecraft.
Yeah, basically.
If you could, you would play a version where you walk up behind other people who have been spending weeks constructing this elaborate circuitry system out of lava. You would hiss into your own microphone and then press the delete button to explode, destroying all of their hard work.
That would be amazing.
You're an anarchist.
Cool. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Zed Games. Thank you very much for listening. Next week on the show, we have a very exciting special guest. MC Lars will be joining us live in the studio. He's just released his concept EP called Edgar Allan Poe, where he raps in character as Edgar Allan Poe. He's midway through an Australia and New Zealand tour. He'll be in Brisbane next week, so he'll be joining us then. Very excited to have him on the show. Also, Candy Payne will be returning with her thoughts on Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Very cool. But for now, we'll leave you with the theme from the Angry Birds game, Jody.
As performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Good.